Imagine hitting print on a, you know, $5,000 corporate order, right? And when the film comes out, every single logo has this solid, ugly white square sitting right behind it.
Yeah, all because of, like, one microscopic pixel.
Exactly. Yeah. One invisible pixel. And that is the brutal reality of direct-to-film, or DTF, printing, if you aren't careful.
It really is. I mean, it's a painful lesson most operators only need to learn once. You can have this brilliant design concept, but if your software stack isn't dialed in, the RIP software will just expose every single flaw.
So true. Well, welcome to today's deep dive into the DTF software stack. We are looking at a September 2024 breakdown by Victor Marquez to help you figure out the exact tools you need for a bulletproof workflow.
Right, because we're moving past just the aesthetics of a cool design.
Yeah.
And looking at how you actually get that graphic onto a shirt.
Yeah.
Without, you know, burning through expensive film and ink.
Right, exactly. So let's just jump right in and unpack this. We kind of have to start with the heavyweights here, Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop.
Yeah, the classic debate.
I mean, we all know Illustrator handles vectors and Photoshop handles rasters. But in the context of DTF printing, why does that distinction suddenly become like a life or death matter for the final print?
So it really comes down to how DTF RIP software generates the white ink underbase. DTF relies on that heavy white layer to make colors pop on dark garments, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And when you feed the RIP software a vector from Illustrator, it's reading pure mathematical paths. It knows exactly where the absolute edge of the design is.
Oh, so it lays down the white underbase perfectly behind the color?
Exactly. Which means no white ink peeking out around the edges.
Mm.
But if you try to use Photoshop for that same crisp logo, you're relying on pixels.
Right, the tiny tiles.
Yeah, and if there's even a slight softness to the edge of those pixels, the RIP software might misinterpret that. It thinks that soft edge needs a full blast of white ink.
Oh, wow. So suddenly your crisp logo has a horrific white halo around it.
Yeah, it's a total mess.
Okay, so if Photoshop is a liability for hard edges, I'm assuming you only use it when you absolutely have to deal with photographic elements.
Pretty much, yeah. It's unparalleled for color grading or like a detailed vintage texture, but I mean, it can't magically invent resolution.
Wait, really? So if a customer sends a tiny blurry logo they pulled off a website, Photoshop can't save the day?
No, not at all. You can't just scale up a low-res image in Photoshop and expect a clean print. You often have to just completely rebuild it in Illustrator.
Okay, well, here's where I want to push back a little bit. Rebuilding artwork takes a ton of time.
Oh, absolutely.
And customers are increasingly using tools like Canva to just whip up designs in 5 minutes, dropping in templates. So since speed is everything, why not just run a Canva export straight to the RIP software and bypass Adobe entirely?
Well, it's tempting, but Canva is optimized for screens, right? It's fantastic for layout speed.
Mm-hmm.
But when you export a supposedly transparent PNG from Canva, it frequently leaves microscopic, semi-transparent pixels lingering in the background.
Oh, and the printer doesn't know they're invisible to the human eye.
Right, so just blindly prints that solid block of white ink under those stray pixels,
yeah,
completely ruining the garment.
Yikes. So that's the white square I mentioned earlier.
Exactly. That's why professional operators use Canva for quick mock-ups, but they still run those files through Illustrator or Photoshop for, like, a pre-press sanity check.
A sanity check, right. Yeah. Okay, so let's say we catch that stray pixel and the file is flawless. But then, because the shop's inbox is a chaotic mess, that perfect file gets attached to an older quote.
And you end up printing 100 flawless transfers in the wrong size.
Right. Which brings us to the other half of the Marquez breakdown. Beautiful art is basically useless if your workflow is a mess.
Yeah, and this is where a platform like Deco Network steps in. I mean, it's not design software, it's the connective tissue.
So it stops the details from getting lost in a spreadsheet.
Exactly. Instead of managing versions in a massive email chain, it ties the print-ready file directly to the customer's, quote, the blank garment inventory and the production timeline.
So it forces a chaotic workflow into a structured pipeline. I like that. We've got Deco Network organizing the pipeline and Adobe making sure the art doesn't choke the printer.
Yep, that's the setup.
But what feeds the pipeline in the first place? Like, when you're staring at a blank screen with zero inspiration, how do you jumpstart that process? Marquez brings up ChatGPT here, which feels a bit strange.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a text bot.
Right. It isn't outputting DTF print files, so how exactly does a text bot help you print a physical t-shirt?
It's not outputting files, but it is greasing the wheels of the entire operation. You use it at the very genesis of the project.
Like for brainstorming.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
If a client gives you a vague concept, You can use ChatGPT to generate 20 funny t-shirt ideas for a local costume shop.
Mm-hmm.
Or use it to write highly detailed AI image prompts for Midjourney to get your base art.
Oh, so it's essentially an on-demand brainstorming partner. You use it to break through creative block, dump those ideas into Canva for a quick layout, finalize the technical edges in Illustrator, and then manage the actual production through Deco Network.
Yeah, it's a highly segmented software stack. But when you deploy it correctly, it transforms a messy art project into a scalable manufacturing floor.
That is such a fascinating way to look at it. You really do need all these distinct silos right now. ChatGPT for ideas, Canva for speed, Adobe for vectors, Deco Network for business logic.
You really do, yeah.
But it leaves you with a massive question to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive. As these platforms get smarter, how long until AI tools start seamlessly connecting all these steps?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Like, are we looking at a future where a simple text prompt automatically generates the vector, links to the inventory, and pushes directly to the RIP software, fundamentally bypassing the human prepress operator entirely? Definitely something for you to chew on the next time you fire up the printer.